Hello there and welcome to another episode of the Crisperience Show. So the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, Level 3, has an exam, a tasting exam, within incorporating at the Level 3 tasting, a practical part, tasting, where you have to taste one white, one red wine through the set criteria to the so-called SAT, the systematic approach for tasting, based on the Level 3 criteria system. Of course, if you're enrolling the course, which I can highly recommend during the WCT courses, you will be trained in the tasting. Now, of course, this sometimes for a few people is a bit boring when you go through the acidity, alcohol, and you do this just high up, medium, and plus and minuses sometimes. And you're going through a systematic approach, basically. So this is very rigid in a way. But again, it helps. It helps to form a system, and it helps to understand how wine tasting works. And based on this, actually, you will be able to describe the wines for everyone. Everyone who is involved in the wine tasting, based on this, will understand what you mean by those words. So this is also a very, very key element for those people who are sitting the exam, Level 3 tasting exam, to follow the SAT, the SAT. Set out. Those words are necessary. I'll give you an example. So if you describe acidity with there are lots of synonyms for high, crisp, lively, vivid, brisk, and many others, this is not good. This is good when you describe the wine openly and you write about the wine, but not for the exam. For the sake of the exam, you have to stick to the wordings which are set on the SAT. So medium plus, high acidity, and so on. So the first basic thing, your dictionary, basically. I mean, if you go to learn a foreign language, you want to stick to those words which is in the dictionary. You know, when you describe something, when you greet somebody and you say hello, goodbye, how are you, and so on and so on. You know, bonjour, ça va, whatever. In French, for instance, you stick to those ones. Of course, for the exam, you cannot use your dictionaries. That's of course clear thing. You wouldn't use a dictionary in a conversation either. So you have to learn those words. They're not many, but you have to learn them and memorize them and use them. So the first and foremost thing is when you take the exam, you have to remember the words. You have to follow it through. You have to use the right words in appearance, the nose, when you smell the wine, and also on the palate. Those are the things which you have to remember. You have to remember the key words, because this is what they're looking for, the key words. This is crucial. I cannot put enough emphasis on this, so use that. The other thing is when you describe a wine, different aromas and flavors on the nose and the palate later on. There's a set way how the marking is done, and that's also written down actually very, very thoroughly by the WCT, so there are no secrets. I myself, as an examiner, I see that, you know, what people are making mistakes of. If you follow the rules to succeed on the tasting part as well. Okay, so for the how would this go? Of course, during the exam, you cannot use any materials, just your pencil and your senses, basically. And you have to write it down clearly, precisely what's in the glass. You don't have to say what wine it is, where it's coming from. There's no question about that. The key thing is to describe the wine, how it's in the glass. And of course, again, I poured myself one white, one red. You know what it is. We know what it is. The white is a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, and the red is a Mencia from Bierzo, Spain, a little bit more aged one, 2008, bit of evolution in the wine. So we know what the wines are actually, but even if we, let's just pretend for a moment we don't know what the wines are, by describing the wines, you can ultimately also work your way back figuring out what the wine is. But again, this is not the exercise for today. It's not we don't have to name the vintage, the wine, and so on. We just have to describe it. So the first thing is, of course, you look at the color. Appearance is the first thing. And if you look at the marking, and this is a bit of a foolproof thing, which we're going to discuss now, I'm going to tell you how the marking system is. With appearance, you get two marks, 2 points basically, one for intensity and one for color. So nobody really cares about the legs, the tears of the wine, or whether it's clear. You can mention it. There's no deduction, of course, but no marks given. The marks are only given for intensity and for the actual color itself. I personally don't like to take too much time on the color because, again, they're just two marks. But for me, this Sauvignon Blanc, I hesitate between pale and medium, but I would go with medium lemon. This would be my initial score for the color. So medium lemon. Very important, you have to be authoritative when it comes to describing wine. So the first rule is follow this SAT. The second rule is no hedge your bets. Don't hedge your bets. You're not on a casino putting on red, black, and even green. No. You just bet on one thing. That's very, very important. But you can mention more than one thing, and you have to mention, we will come to that, it's about aromas and flavors. Everything else describing the color of the wine, the nose and the structure of the wine, as well as quality and conclusion, you have to be precise. Just name one thing. And you could think, oh, this is pale to medium, but then stick to one. Say pale or say medium. Don't do two, whatever, pale to, don't. That's very important. So I would go with this medium lemon. This is what I'm going to stick, medium lemon color. Simple. Good. The next one, the nose. Obviously, it's clean, but no marks for that. For the nose, you're getting 7 marks. So you're looking for 7 keywords, minimum 7 keywords. One of them is going to be intensity and development. Now, if I smell this is super intense for me, very pronounced, very rich, very overt in style. So you're just going to write down pronounced intensity. Simple. Pronounced, tick, 1 mark. And then the next one is the development state. You could obviously mention aromas here right away, what you smell, but I like to make my sense up with the development state. So this is useful for me. Youthful. And if you have youthful wine, you have to mention mainly and almost exclusively only primary notes. So this is important. So you kind of flip your card and mentally in your head. I'm not going to do this in front of me. I just have it here. So you think about primary fruits mainly. So for me, when I smell this wine, it has a lot of tropical fruit, gooseberry, flower, ripe stone fruit. Bit of floralness there, there's stone fruit, there's some tropical fruit. So it's very, very important when it comes to naming those aroma and also later flavors, use the specific descriptors. So don't say this has tropical fruit. There's no mark for that. You have to say pineapple. You have to say melon, mango, lychee, whatever. What's ever in the middle of the descriptors. So you have to mention it very, very precisely. What are those aromas? So for me, this I would definitely say some blossom, some gooseberry, some pear, maybe even grape, lemon, lime, lychee, mango, melon, passion fruit, maybe some herbal tone as well. I would probably go with some herbaceous note, maybe a tiny bit of blackcurrant leaf, and a little bit of mint. And that's it. I think I covered pretty much everything which is in the wine. Pronounced aromas, pronounced intensity, useful, and those descriptors. So always be precise when it comes to descriptors. And of course, you can use your own description as well, but do it at the end. Do the first things which are at the SAT on the list, and then if there's anything else you want to add, then use it. And again, you remember 7 marks, right? 7 marks for the nose. So you're getting 1 mark for the development and 1 mark for the intensity. And then the rest of the 5 comes from those aromas, actually. So you have to list at least minimum 5 different aromas. And if the wine is useful, then you're just going to use those useful things. And how the marking goes, if the wine has development, if it's developing, so it will have some secondary, you will have to mention also secondary notes. Something from the oak, something from the lees aging, something from malolactic conversion, MLF, malolactic fermentation, if you will. So MLC or MLF, whatever you want to call it. So you have to mention those things as well, if it has secondary notes, if the wine is developing. We will come to the red wine. I'm not going to spoil this, but if it has tertiary notes as well, it's fully developed. You will have to mention also tertiary notes as well, equaling out those things. This is how the marking goes. You know, you get one mark for if it's tertiary, if it's fully developed, one mark for primary, secondary, and tertiary, three, and then two other ones for whatever they are. But you have to have at least five markings. Okay, done this. Talked a lot about this thing. Let's taste the wine. Now, when it comes to tasting the wine, you have to describe the structure of the wine. So how does it feel? Sweetness level, acidity. With red wines, we have tannins as well, not with whites. Then, of course, alcohol, flavor intensity, and finish, body. Sorry, forgot about that almost. Body as well. And, of course, finish and flavor characteristics as well. Intensity as well. So there are actually, if I'm correctly recalling, 9 marks for the white and 10 for the reds. One for sweetness, one for acidity, one for alcohol, one for body, one for flavor intensity, and one for the finish. So that makes it 6. And you have to mention 3 flavors exactly. So that's 9 marks in total. That's important. So a minimum 3 flavors. And look, you can always use copy-paste. If something adds up on the palate, it may add up on the nose or vice versa. You know, use it. That's that simple. I mean, the nose corresponds with the palate. I mean, oh yeah, sure, there may be sometimes different things which you sense on the nose, on the palate. But for the sake of simplicity, do add it up, right? I mean, just use those both, because you see, the flavors and aromas, there are no different sheets for that judging criteria. So you have, there's just one aroma profile, right? Which is basically our nose. Then the palate is through the retronasal attached to the nose, which corresponds to the brain and everything else. Let's just taste the wine again, because I forgot how it tastes. Definitely dry. I mean, yeah, sure, there's a little bit of residual sugar, but it's under 5 grams. So the wine is dry for me. The acidity is quite mouth-watering. So I'm thinking about medium plus and high acidity. Again, be confident. I'm going to say high acidity on this one. So dry, high acidity. The alcohol for me is medium, kind of a warming effect. The body for me, medium. Flavor intensity, pronounced, super pronounced, similar to the nose, very intense, pronounced flavor intensity, and a medium plus finish. Very important when it comes to medium, you have the plus and minuses, not with alcohol. With alcohol, you have just low, medium, and high. So at alcohol, there are no pluses and minuses. But with the rest of the, everything else, you will have medium pluses and minuses. So usually what the WCT says, that if it was a level 2 medium, it will be also medium in level 3. If it was high in level 2, it will be also high in level 3. Just the pluses and minuses are a little bit more discerning factors when it comes to describing more nuanced the thing. And make use of it, because otherwise it's going to be really boring. Everything is going to be medium only. Do make use of it, medium minus, medium plus. As you see, I did mention, you know, of course, medium alcohol. I mentioned medium body, but then pronounced flavor intensity, super pronounced. And for the finish was definitely longer than medium. I was even thinking between long and, medium plus, of course. But then it does have more youthfulness and it breaks down a little bit earlier than being long. So therefore, I would just say medium plus, just medium plus finish. The quality. Before we go to the conclusion, we have to talk about the flavors. Again, what I told you earlier, you can literally copy-paste whatever you had in your nose. I definitely get a lot of gooseberry. I get a shot of tropical fruit, the mango, maracuja, lychee, stone fruit, right? Apple, pear. I get some lime, lemon zest because of the acidity, the freshness. You can literally repeat those things and can get easily 3 marks here. So mention minimum 3. Otherwise, if you don't mention 3, you cannot be awarded 3. So I would always encourage you actually to mention more than 3 marks on that. Good, we've done that. Quality level. For me, this is actually a very good one. I like it. It has a pretty long finish, medium plus. It has a lot of useful but layered aromas. It has a beautiful balance and it's very intense on the nose and the palate. Both are pronounced. So concluding with the Blick, right? Balance, length, intensity, complexity. The Blick, I would say definitely very good, but I would drink it now. I wouldn't keep it. So it's very important you say very good quality level, and then you say drink now, not suitable for further aging. So you have to state this is drink now and not suitable for further aging. This is how you get one mark for the drinking window and, of course, the quality. So, summarizing up, Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, Marlborough. Good. Going to our red wine, and this is very important because when you get your sheet, you have to write white wine under the white wine paper, red wine under the red wine paper. I'm telling this because if you're getting a sweet wine, and you can get a sweet wine, sweet white wine, you know, like something from Tokaj or Sauternes maybe, something classic, which is in the syllabus, you would probably not start with the sweet wine, you would start with the red wine. But then, of course, you have to look for the heading, red wine. Red wine goes under red wine, white wine goes under the white wine section. Color, I couldn't read through it, so for me this is intense. It's deep in intensity, and it has definitely some evolution. There's a lot of brownness color, so you're getting this kind of brick-like colors, bit of the brownness, and I would say this is it's a garnet color. I don't think it's tawny just yet. Color is something which we often disagree with because it depends how you see. I would say definitely it's deep in intensity, and I would call it, you know, kind of a garnet. For me, this would be a garnet color as such. So deep garnet, two marks. Now, when it comes to intensity, I don't think it's pronounced, so I would go with the medium section, but here I would go with medium plus intensity, and it's fully developed, no question. I mean, this is a classic example of fully developed wine. It's 2008. If you're looking at the years, you know, it's quite a development, right? I mean, 2008, it wasn't yesterday. So this is fully developed, definitely. So if it's fully developed, you're looking for tertiary aromas as well. You may want to mention one, just for the sake of being correct, one primary note. I would do encourage you, you know, and you can pick something because even in the primary notes, you get some dried and cooked fruits, which are listed under the primary. And I would go with some stewed fruits, with some jamminess, with some bakedness, maybe some prune raisin. This is something which I would mention along the line. And this kicks up the primary section easily. Then you have to tick from the secondary, right? Because you remember, if it's the wine is fully developed, you need one primary, secondary, tertiary. You need at least one of those. And then the other two marks can come from anywhere. I mentioned those baked stewed fruits, bit of fig and prune. For me, definitely some clove, vanilla, charred wood smoke, chocolate, coffee, those things. Maybe even cedar is there. And there's some bottle age, definitely some forest floor, earthiness, game, tobacco, coffee, caramel, those things. And you see, there are some overlappings with the aromas. And yeah, why not? You know, use them, make use of them, because it's really helpful. This is what I would pick up, this particular wine. Let's taste it. Dry. Acidity for me, thinking about medium plus and high actually, I would probably go, it's difficult sometimes, right? But you have to make a conclusion. I would go with medium plus on this one. Again, there might be some people saying this is a high acidity. Sure, you can end up, you know, losing one or two marks, but you're still gonna be way passing the thing. So I would say medium plus acidity, but be confident. Don't say medium to high, because either way, one is right, then you're not gonna get the mark. So be confident, say medium plus acidity. The next one, because it's red wine, tannins are super high for me. So there's a lot of drying effect, really intense. So the tannins, ultimately, no question, high tannins. The alcohol for me feels very warm, very rich, high alcohol. Simple, straightforward thing. The body, I don't think the body feels quite as heavy and rich because of the acidity slightly cancels it out. And due to the age development as well, it may lost a little bit of the weight of the presence. So I would go with medium plus on this one. Medium plus body. And flavor intensity for me, medium plus. Long finish, however. It's very long finish. It's a really long ongoing finish. So the palate conclusion for me, without the flavors just yet, would be dry, of course, medium plus acidity, high tannins, high alcohol, medium plus body, medium plus flavor intensity, and long finish. And you remember the flavors. You have to mention, again, one primary, secondary, and tertiary as well. You have to kind of picking those things, right? If the wine is fully developed. And again, you can mention those baked fruits, you can mention the coffee, chocolate, forest floor. I mean, there's plenty of those things, especially when you have a very good wine. You do have complexity in the wine. And this is, for me, about between very good and outstanding, because it's very complex. It's long, actually. So I'm going to go with outstanding. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with outstanding on this one. I'm thinking always between two options, right? Between very good and outstanding. But show confidence. State outstanding. And you may be wrong, but again, you showed confidence and you're very, very close for that. So I would go outstanding. I think it peaked. I would drink it now. I wouldn't leave it. So I would say drink now, not suitable for aging or any further aging. 2008 is quite developed in a way. So this is how you describe the wines, right? This is how you're getting the marks. You're looking for 20 on the whites and 21 marks on the reds because of the one additional mark for the tannins. So this is a bit of foolproof and bulletproof way of getting the marks, but this is what you want to do, right? You want to pass the exam, you want to be successful, and it does help you to describe the wine, definitely. And probably in the exam, you know, Mencia from Bierzo is not really typical. The way Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand is very, very typical, but I just found this fully developed wine, you know, looking at the label and the vintage. I thought I might just going to share it and see what are those aromas and flavors come up, because you know sometimes we don't really drink fully developed wines. The Spanish are really good with those things, and I'm really grateful to them that they sometimes age the wines as they do, right, with the Reserva and Grand Reserva system as well. But this is a topic for another time. Again, if you're going to do your wine studies, I can highly recommend the WCT, Wine and Spirit Education Trust courses, the various APPs in the world is arguably the biggest wine school. And the wine tasting approach at level 3 is very thorough, very strict, very rigid in a way, but it helps you to understand the systematic way approaching a wine, describing a wine to everybody who speaks that language. And it's in this way, it's a simple language, right? It's on the sheet on the two sides, and you go with this and follow the rules, follow those words, describe the wine with the descriptors, don't hedge your bets, show confidence and an authority, and you will be very successful. Best of luck for those who are doing the level 3, and yeah, there's a lot of information out there in the world and the big world, the wide web. Just taste the wines, describe them accurately, show confidence, show passion about that. And of course, if you pass the exam, then you can use your vivid, crisp, lively, acidity words. But for the time being, stick to the set. Until next time, see you guys. Bye.